Our Man at Wembley by Bill Matthews, Episode 1.
He has.
The ball reaches Stanley Matthews.
Come on, England.
Right. Come on, Stan.
Just get him, Stanley.
Reaches the byline.
Go on, Stanley.
Norton meets it with his head and it comes out clear to Carter.
There you go.
Carter shoots and he scores.
Yes! Oh, that was a brilliant goal. Brilliant!
How do you know, Dad? You didn't see it.
That's the wonder of radio, Alf. Inside your dad's head, it was a brilliant goal.
Well, I didn't see it, Uncle Eric. I wish this match was on television.
Don't worry, son. Games like this will be soon. It's the future.
Salmon to head on that ball.
Oh, lovely.
Unfortunately for Scotland, Macaulay left more like a
net. Tell you, I much prefer the pictures as painted by Gordon MacKay. What wouldn't I give to have his job?
Yeah.
Oh, steady, lads.
Dora, what are you doing?
Toffee or southerner.
Oh.
Scottish.
Then he should have the decency to sound Scottish. The tea's on the table.
Oh, can't it wait till after the match?
No, it can't. If everything had stopped for sport, Rome would never have been built in a day.
You can't argue with that kind of logic.
It seems strange. You're still so anti-anything southern, Dora. I mean, you married me, a southerner. You live in the south.
And I'm half southern.
In fact, you could pass for a southerner yourself these days.
Careful, Michael.
Never say that, Michael. Even in jest. I'll never forgive the way I was treated when I first came to London as your fiancé and I got that job in Harrods. The haughtiness.
The contempt.
The sniggers behind your back.
The condescending looks every time I open my mouth.
Mm, and as for the customers.
They were even worse.
Many of the pre-war pioneers of the outside broadcasting team have not, for one reason or another, returned to this department. During the war, new voices emerged who better represented the age. Now, nearly 2 years after the cessation of hostilities, we must ensure that we continue this process. I'm not going too fast for you, am I, Chantal?
No, Major, I'm up to speed.
Come. Ah, MacKay, thanks for dropping in.
You're happy to, Major.
Now, before I sent this memo round, I wanted to hear your views. What point had I got up to, Chantal?
I don't think you did come to a point, Major.
Oh, right. Well, I was thinking, MacKay, we need some fresh blood in this department.
Fresh blood?
New age, new generation, new attitudes.
Where did you get that from, Major?
Well, I read it somewhere. Now, where was it? Ah, yes, on a wall at King's Cross Station next to, if you're man enough, meet me here at 7. Yes, it's a phrase that somehow stuck in my mind.
Which one?
The first one.
All this new men for a new age stuff, Major, are you sure it's something we should encourage?
I'm not quite with you, Elboy.
Well, from what I've seen of him, this modern man the papers keep harping on about is a pretty appalling specimen. Bring him into the BBC and is just one step away from having the 6 o'clock news read in a provincial accent by the product of a state education.
Well, I'm sure that could never happen. Could it? Well, we're still under staff there, MacKay. We haven't yet found adequate replacements for the colonel, the captain, or the commander.
Mm.
And it means an unfair burden is placed on you to cover most sports.
Oh, it's a burden I'm delighted to bear.
I'd better have another think before sending out the memo. You two leave me to it. Thank you, Chantal.
I'll come back later.
Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
Chantal, what about it then?
What about what?
The offer is still open. A trip to the Flicks, a candlelit supper, and a little dancing at an after-hours club I happen to know.
Even though your offer is still open, you do not need to remind me of it quite so often.
Is that a yes?
How can what I said mean yes? Unless my English teacher was playing a joke on me and taught me all the wrong meanings of words. But I don't think so.
I'll have her yet.
Evening, Pete. Rex.
Aye, off here comes Trouble.
Hello, Trouble. How's the whippet? Been fighting with the ferret for black pudding scraps a yin.
You never tell you, do you, lads?
Pint of pride, is it, Trouble?
That's all, Avril. Listen, I can perfectly imitate you with spivvy accents. It's just that I prefer to keep a dignified silence.
Yeah, not for long, though, I'll bet.
Here we go.
Did you know them Brentford settling? Oh, they look good and pass a goalstone, let alone a ball. That looks so glam, it might never happen. Oh, it just did. Still worse things happen at sea. Never rains when it pulls. Better out than in. That's what I always say, me old macker.
What? You can talk proper when you really try.
Keep it that one day to be just like us.
Ah, but Rex, I can never forget where I came from.
Why not?
Well, because my sister wouldn't let me. Dora once refused to speak to me for 2 days just because I accidentally said Burnley instead of Burnley.
Ah, but don't you think being northern has held you back job-wise?
So if I talk like this all the time, Pete, one day I could be a milkman like you.
All right, all
Can't
right.
believe it makes much difference nowadays. What job is it that Trouble couldn't do?
Well, he could never be on his beloved BBC.
Ah, true, true. You wouldn't want to hear voices like yours on a wireless, eh?
Certainly not, but then you wouldn't want to hear voices like yours either.
Fair point.
I could get a job at the BBC. All I would have to do is talk like this. It's perfectly simple. Hey, I tell you what, Pete. Give me a subject to speak about. Anything you like.
All right. And the weather. Still a bit parky, isn't it?
Good evening, Rex. Good evening, Pete. Good evening, Britain. I'm talking to you now from the George IV Public House in Chiswick, here in the heart of West London, on this day, April 14th, 1947.
I wonder if you could offer me some assistance. I'm looking for Duke's Avenue.
Oh, that's easy. You go left up the high road and it's second on the left. Or third on the left. No, fourth on the left.
Thank you, I'm sure I'll find it. Do you know this man who's talking?
Oh, yeah, he's Trouble.
Is he indeed?
For months, everyone from lowly shop girl to high court judge talked about one thing and one thing only. Would the great freeze of 1947 never end? At last, now that the thaw has settled in, we can all talk about something else.
Yes, let's.
The floods, which have swept the country
from east and west of the pool.
From north of Sarah to south of Sarah.
Excuse me, my man.
What? Thank the Lord.
Oh, sorry.
I do apologise for interrupting, but may I have a private word?
Ah, yeah, of course. Okay.
I was most interested in what you were saying, or more to the point, how you were saying it. Oh, forgive me, my name is Major Shaw Jones.
You're from BBC, aren't you?
I'm sorry? I don't understand.
Are you the Major Shaw Jones, who is the BBC's head of outside broadcasts, and in the past an occasional commentator on Boat Race Day?
Well, I must say it's most unusual to have a member of the public recognise my name. My work goes largely unseen.
Suppose it would.
Yeah. And you are...
Oh, I'm sorry. Eric. Eric Halliday.
Mr. Halliday, you have a natural broadcasting voice. Have you ever thought of trying for a job in radio?
Well, yes, I've often thought of it.
Well, how about it? Why don't you come for an audition on, say, Tuesday morning at 10 a.m?
I believe I may be free at that time.
Excellent. Oh, by the way, do you know why that barmaid called you Trouble?
Trouble is my nickname, as in Trouble at Mill.
Trouble at Mill?
Yes, because I'm heir to a number of mills in Lancashire.
Oh, yes! I see. Hey, Trouble. Good Lord, is that the time? I must dash. I'll see you on Tuesday morning. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
And Harry Johnson collects the ball and passes to Mortensen, who turns on a sixpence, shoots and scores. So that makes it Blackpool 103, Manchester United 1. Who would have predicted this, that United could manage a goal against this cast-iron Blackpool defence? And now it's over to Gordon Mackay on the centre court at Wimbledon.
Well, I'm afraid the prospects of play look bleak, car. The court is completely flooded and there's more bad weather on the way. In fact, it's doubtful there'll be any play at all for at least 4 months when the championships actually start. It's obvious that I've been sent here far too early. I'm freezing cold and I want my mummy. Now, back to the studio.
Eric?
Yeah?
Eric, can you turn down your radio whilst trying to sleep?
Sorry, Dora. Sorry. And I'm just hearing now about a late result, a glorious victory for Eric Halliday, who totally deceived his sister Dora. Ha, ha, ha.
So, how was the shop yesterday, Dad? Many about?
Yeah, plenty. One bloke wanted to know the time. Another wanted to know if we had any sausages for sale under the counter. And the third wanted to know if I knew that Jesus loved me.
Still free customers. It's better than most days, isn't it?
Television's got to take off soon.
Oh, I don't know. Nothing will ever replace the wireless.
Eric, what are you still doing here?
At least when the picture's inside your own head, it doesn't go fuzzy all the time and then cut out completely.
They're working on that. Improvements are being made every day.
You're normally at work by this time, Eric.
Well...
Of course your problem is, Dad. You've got to get rid of the old fuzzy televisions before you can get hold of the new better ones.
Yes, thank you, Alf.
So, calling the shop tomorrow today is a bit silly. It should really be called yesterday today, as any ones that we eventually sell already be out of date.
Isn't it time you were leaving for the school bus?
I've got another 9 minutes and 33 seconds.
Pity.
Aren't you having any breakfast, Eric?
No, thanks, I'm not hungry.
Look at you, you're shaking, you better eat something.
No, I couldn't. Well, I'd better be off to work. Another day adding up other people's money. When are they going to invent a machine that can do that, Michael? Hello. Excuse me. I have an appointment to see Major Shaw Jones.
What department?
Outside broadcasts.
Name?
Eric Halliday.
One moment. Please sit over there.
There?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Halliday?
Yes.
Chantal Deschamps. Nice to meet you. I'm very sorry that you've had to wait for so long.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Please follow me up the stairs. Have you travelled far?
Not really. No further than France.
I meant today.
Is that? I know, sorry. Just a bad joke.
I've come from West London.
Have you lived in England long?
Since near the start of the war. My family escaped France around the same time as de Gaulle.
But unlike him, you never went back.
No, we didn't. Which part of France did you visit?
I had a week in Dunkirk in 1940.
Oh, yes. Of course. I should have realised.
No, not at all. I wish I could have seen more of the place.
Perhaps you will one day.
I very much hope so.
Come!
Major, Mr. Halliday is here to see you.
Our auditions usually take place at live events, but I'm afraid that today there simply isn't any sport. It's the government, you see.
Yes.
Well, they decided midweek sport was affecting production, so everything's off. We couldn't even find a game of bar billiards to take you to. Then one of my chaps remembered an old bit of Pathé newsreel from the FA Cup final of 1936 lying around the office. Well, the film is rather jerky and jumps straight from one part of the match to another, but I'm afraid that's all we have. Are you a soccer man, Halliday?
Yes, I...
Well, you'll know the names of all the players, then.
Well, that final was 11 years ago.
I prefer football to soccer myself.
Football?
Rugby football. Now, that's a real game.
Yeah.
Ah, here we are. Ah, good. Higgins has set up the projector already. Just make yourself comfortable.
Thank you very much.
One small pointer, Halliday. It will make things easier if you're somewhere near the microphone.
Oh, right, yes. Sorry.
Now, are you ready, Halliday?
I think so.
Good, well, I'll start up the film and signal to Higgins that we're on our way. Good luck.
Welcome to Wembley, where the 1936 FA Cup final is being played this afternoon between Arsenal and Sheffield United.
No, stop, stop. No, this is hopeless.
Sorry.
It doesn't sound like a real commentary without crowd noise.
Oh.
I'll just signal through the glass for Higgins to put on a sound effects disc. Yes, I think he's got the message. That's better. Now, when you're ready...
Arsenal, have the ball with Bastin to Robbins. I mean, Roberts. Drake shapes up to shoot, and meanwhile, up the other end, it's a corner to Sheffield United, which Moss takes. There's a scramble in the centre circle involving a number of footballers. Goal kick to Arsenal, which results in another goal kick to Arsenal, and that's half-time. Well, what an action-packed half that was. But it's still goalless as the teams prepare to kick off for the second half. Corner to Sheffield United. Throw in to Arsenal. Free kick to Sheffield. Here at Wembley, it's end-to-end. There's no telling what will happen next. And here's a magnificent sight. That famous airship hovering over the Empire Stadium. And there it is again. And there are some of the crowd looking up at the airship. And it's a goal to Arsenal. Drake the scorer. The Sheffield custodian missed it completely. And so did the cameraman. The referee blows for full time as Arsenal make their way up to collect the trophy from what I can only assume is a member of the royal family. Alex James holds the cup aloft as the crowd...
Thank you, Halliday. I'm afraid I'm already late for a meeting. I'll be in contact shortly. You know your way out, don't you?
I think so.
Mac?
What are you what doing? Are you Well, I fancied a cup of tea. What about you?
Oh, no harm in you knowing, I suppose.
Go on, then.
I called in sick at the office and instead went to an audition at the BBC for a sports commentator's job. But I made a complete ash of it. I called Roberts Robbins. I questioned the professional integrity of a Pathé cameraman, failed to recognise a member of the royal family, was dismissed in about 10 words by the head of OBs, and then spent an hour wandering around the BBC's corridors trying to find a way out.
Just one question.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Look, Michael, I really don't want to be overheard. Is there somewhere more private we can go and talk?
The shop should be safe. Be more likely to be disturbed. We're on top of Mount Everest.
What about Dora?
I told her I can handle the rush on my own. Come on, let's go. Then you can tell me that story again, only slower, with a few more details.
I'm sure Jones was out the door quicker than you can say Cardew Robinson.
So he thinks you talk like that all the time. Amazing.
Yeah.
He has no idea you're as common as muck.
No.
He's unaware that you're a low-born proletarian nobody who belongs in the gutter.
He is.
He's ignorant of your status.
Yeah, all right, Michael.
Shame, I was just beginning to enjoy myself.
Oh, Michael, I don't want Dora to know about this.
I could never keep anything from my wife.
Come on, Michael, she wouldn't want to know. Think how unhappy she'd be that I'd betrayed my Lancashire upbringing by pretending to be a southern toff.
Don't worry, I won't tell her.
Thanks. Oh, to get so close to my impossible dream.
I know.
And then to mess it up so totally.
Chiswick 4631.
Oh, good morning. I've been given this number from Mr. Eric Halliday.
Right. I'll just go and find out if he's in for you.
Thank you.
Mr. Halliday, there's a telephone call for you. Oh, thank you very much. Did you ask the caller's name? No, I didn't, sorry. Oh, never mind. Good morning, Eric Halliday speaking.
Halliday, Shaw Jones here?
Hello.
Yeah, the reason I called is that there's a croquet tournament going on at Hurlingham tomorrow.
Yes?
The All England Open Championships.
Right.
Yeah, and I've run out of volunteers this end to cover the event. And then I remembered that test you did for us a few weeks ago. Would you mind giving it a go?
Yes. I mean, no, I of course, I'd be happy to.
Good man.
Yeah.
Is your knowledge of croquet up to scratch, by the way?
Yes, yes, we, when I was growing up, we played it all the time on the front lawn.
Oh, so you don't need help with all the terms, then?
Well,
excellent. Now, make your way to Hurlingham by 2 o'clock at the latest. You'll be on air on the light programme at 3.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Well, goodbye to yeah.
Alf, you know a lot, don't you?
Well, yeah, quite a lot, Uncle Eric. But not everything.
Mm. Certainly not as much as he thinks he knows.
So if I picked any subject, there's a fair chance you'll know something about it?
I'd estimate a probability of between 70 and 85%, roughly speaking.
All right, let's try one. Off the top of my head, totally at random, croquet.
What's it worth?
I'm not with you.
How much will you give me if I tell you everything I know about croquet?
Alf!
1 shilling.
Eric!
It's a deal.
I don't believe this.
All right, let's hear it. Come on, everything you know.
Croquet is a sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's all I know about it.
Oh. Oh, well, deal's a deal, I suppose.
Tart. Here, I like this game. You can ask me about the life cycle of an ant if you like. Only cost you sixpence.
I'd rather not.
I've been round twice now.
Two bookshops, 1 WH Smith and 1 library. And the closest thing we found is a book about crochet.
So what are we going to do?
Oh, what time is it?
Just gone 1.
1? Why didn't you tell me? I'm supposed to be at Hurlingham before 2.
So where is Hurlingham?
I ain't got a clue.
We better find the library's geography section. Quick.
Aye.
Oh! Oh. Oh. Terribly sorry.
Quite all right, no bones broken.
Actually, I wonder if you can help me. I'm from the BBC.
Are you now?
Yes, I've only just arrived and I need to know what's been happening.
Well, I can tell you about the last match on.
Anything, please.
Well, Hamilton Miller managed to run the first hoop, gaining a rush close to red in corner 2.
Yes.
From there, he was able to build a steady break around a penalt. Lee was poor, and Hicks hit a roker near Beebork. Started on a triple, peeling his opponent through Rover and completing the turn by pegging out all three balls. Put her in the picture.
Yes. Jolly good. Thank you very much, Mr.
Hamilton Miller.
Oh, then you're...
Yes. That bugger Hicks just beat me.
Oh, well. Chin up. Thank you.
Are you Halliday?
Yes. I've seen your picture in the Radio Times. You're Gordon Mackay.
And you're late. I've been here since play started at 11.
I'm terribly sorry. I had to catch three different buses to get here.
You came by bus?
My Woolsey is in the garage.
Look, can we get on? We're on the air in a moment. I'm the poor sap Shaw Jones has picked on to tell you what to do.
Where do we broadcast from?
You're standing in front of it.
This shed?
Well, I've seen far worse. If you'd suffered some of the conditions I've had to endure, you wouldn't complain. Hours deprived of food or drink or even decent air spent up to my neck in mud.
I was a great admirer of your broadcast from the front during the war.
I was thinking more of the time I was sent to Wigan to cover rugby league. Yes. Now, I'll go on first for 15 minutes, then hand over to you. Haven't got a queue line from BH, so we'll just have to start bang on three and end bang on half past. Got that? Good. Duty done. Time for me to take up my position.
Mr. Mackay? Sorry, can you fill me in on what's been happening, the names of the competitors and so forth?
Me? Tell you. Sorry, old chap. You're in with the big boys now, and that means you're on your own.
So Hicks, having beaten Hamilton Miller earlier in the day, now looks well on his way to the final. It's not over yet by any means. This is proving to be one of the best semi-finals I've ever seen here at Hurlingham. And now I hand you over to my colleague, Eric Halliday, who will continue for the rest of the broadcast. Eric.
Thank you very much, Gordon. I have to agree with you. I've never seen a game of croquet before that's been more exciting than this. And what an appropriate moment for the sun to creep through the clouds for the first time today as the players and officials walk off the green towards the pavilion.
Where are they all going?
It's 3:15, tea time. Didn't you read the programme?
So as everyone heads off to the marquees for some well-earned refreshments, it's a good time for me to take you over some of the day's highlights here at Hurlingham, a place that will forever be associated with the noble sport of croquet, although polo has its headquarters within these grounds. And tennis is played here too, of course. So croquet is just one of the sports that will forever be associated with Hurlingham. Play began at 11 with a women's match between Mrs. Kelly and Mrs. Brown. Mrs. Brown began off with a roquet, but then she pegged out completely. She found herself behind after Mrs. Kelly's doorstepper. However, Mrs. Brown hit back with one of the best knee-ups seen here since the war. That sets the stage for a meeting with Mrs. Worthington later this afternoon, and her daughter is also in this event.
And as I think I said before, we are now blessed with sunshine.
Dora, I thought you went to Hammersmith.
Oh, went and came back. There's no more in the shops there than here. In fact, this is the only fully stocked shop in West London, and the only one without a queue outside, more's the pity.
Still no sign of...
What's that you're listening to?
It's croquet.
Croquet? What would you be listening to croquet for? It's for knobs, isn't it?
I happen to like croquet.
That's the wonder of marriage. I learn something new about my husband every day.
And the Van Apple technique was named after the famous Dutch...
There's something familiar about that voice.
There is?
1920s. I've got it. Apple. Eric.
Eric?
Yes, Eric was listening to him on the radio last night.
That must be it.
It's back to the studio in broadcasting hut.
Oh, no.
That completes our coverage of the Croquet Open at Hurlingham. Your commentators this afternoon were Gordon Mackay and Eric.
Oh, damn, I'm blasted.
Chiswick 4631.
Hello, can I speak to Mr. Eric Halliday, please?
Who is this, please?
My name is Chantal Deschamps.
One moment, please. I'll fetch him. Eric?
Mm-hmm.
There's someone called Chantal Deschamps for you.
Oh, thanks, Dora.
Michael, do you know anything about this?
Perhaps it's something to do with Eric's work.
Oh, don't be soft. Didn't you see the way he ran out of the room? And haven't you noticed the odd way he's been behaving lately? It's obvious, isn't it?
Is it?
He's found himself a new girl. Oh, men. You can't see what's in front of your nose sometimes.
Hello?
Mr. Halliday?
Yes?
Major Shaw Jones asked me to telephone you.
Yes?
What were his words? He said to let you know that there is a desk waiting for you at Broadcasting House.
Really? That's wonderful. That's completely wonderful.
Ooh, he'd like to know if you can come in today.
I can, and I will.
Good. By the way, I hope your sore throat gets better soon. Huh? Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Come through, Halliday, and sit down.
Thank you, sir. Hello, Mr. Mackay.
Halliday.
I'm afraid that croquet broadcast was an utter shambles.
I'm sorry, sir.
For which I take full responsibility. We should have found out when the tea interval was and switched things round. Even so, I'm very surprised you allowed a rookie on air when nothing was happening, Mackay.
By the time I knew there was a tea interval, it was too late.
Well, having said all this, Halliday, I think you showed you could cope when pitted in at the deep end, what? I don't know what all those terms meant. Oh, but they sounded very convincing.
Thank you, sir.
What I propose to do is to offer you a 6-month contract starting from today. How about it?
Thank you very much, sir. I accept.
Good. I'm putting you under Mackay's wing. All right, Mackay?
You're in charge, Major.
After 6 months, Halliday, we'll look at things again, and if either party wants out, then we'll shake hands, say farewell, and go our separate ways. All right by you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, by the way, you don't have to keep saying sir. There's no need to be so formal in this day and age. Just call me Major.
Yes, Major.
Right. Carry on.
Major. I suppose you thought that went rather well.
Well, yes, didn't you?
Don't ever get me into trouble again, Halliday.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Can I just say, Mr. Mackay, that I've been listening to your broadcast since the 30s, and everything I know now, I've learned from you.
Well, don't think I'm going to teach you anything more.
No?
No, Halliday. My only intention is to make sure you disappear back to wherever it is you've just sprung from.
In episode 1 of Our Man at Wembley, you heard Alistair McGowan as Eric, John Glover as Mackay, and Jeremy Child as Major Shaw Jones. John Salthouse as Michael, Jane Whittenshaw, Dora, and Dax O'Callaghan, Elf. Melanie Hudson played Chantal, and Charles Simpson, Rex. Our Man at Wembley is written by Bill Matthews and directed by Sally Evans.